Coming up on Twit News, Jason Howell and I talk about the Microsoft Ignite keynote. That's right, we were up early to watch it live and check out all the things that Microsoft will be bringing in the new year. That's AI, that's quantum computing, that is so virtual machines. There's so much to cover, so stay tuned. Check it out.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit News, episode 349, recorded Monday, November 4th, 2019. Microsoft Ignite keynote. This episode is brought to you by LastPass, a personal password manager and identity solution for businesses all in one. You only need one master password, and LastPass remembers the rest. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more. Hello and welcome. We are here, we being myself and Jason Howell, to cover... It's very early here in California, but we are here to cover the Microsoft Ignite keynote. It is kicking off here in about 4 minutes.
Somewhere around there. Thankfully, they've got a little bit of a pre-show going.
Yes.
And it's diving into really important topics prepared for Satya, including stickers.
It's all about the people.
yeah, so you mentioned that this is like a recurring theme that you've been hearing.
Yeah, I've heard them say several times now, it's all about the people. The guy there on our right, but their left, was talking about the AI and how that's for the people. And then the cool hat wearing dude was talking about it being for the people. So they're really, and then even that Microsoft employee that seemingly was there to just like suddenly he even said something about the people. It's about, you know, I'm here for my customers. Da, 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 da. So we'll see if that's kind of the overall theme of things.
He seemed a little distracted. Maybe he was distracted by the people.
He was as one happens to be. Before we get into it, though, I do want to thank LastPass for sponsoring our Twit News today for the Microsoft Ignite keynote. Of course, LastPass is the personal password manager and identity solution for businesses and for people.
What would LastPass be without people and their passwords?
It would be a very, you know, it would just go on and it would be an AI and it'd be fine. But you only need one master password with LastPass, and LastPass remembers the rest. So, you know, when you got some time, head over to LastPass.com/twit to learn more. But until that time, I guess we can tune back into what's going on here as we get ready to see what Satya Nadella has to say.
Microsoft Ignite on demand at aka.ms/MSIgnite on demand.
Technically,
now,
this
Satya's vision keynote has just been its way, but
keynote.
Immediately
okay.
Following that,
well,
we're
and
right
Ignite is kind of the last big event for Microsoft before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Usually, year after year, they make some key announcements leading into the next year. So, it'll be curious to see how much of Satya's keynote is about the people and what that actually means for their products, how their products tie into that vision. Because, as you say, they're really laying the groundwork of that.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, I don't know a whole lot about what Ignite usually brings. It's my understanding that's a little bit like WWDC,
right?
Or Google I/O, or is Google I/O usually hardware?
No, Google I/O, I would say, is along the same lines. Yeah,
conference.
It's really a developer conference,
gotcha.
And then kind of got intermingled with the hardware thing as well.
Gotcha.
So I get that impression as well, too. Like, I am not a Microsoft,
aficionado.
Thank you. It's early. But that's the impression that I have about Ignite, It's a big keynote. It's a way to kind of set the vision for Microsoft leading into the next year.
That's why it's called the vision keynote. I get it now.
There we go.
That's kind of my signature. I'm just going to say, Aunt Pruitt and I covered the hardware event a little bit earlier, and this was one of the devices that was announced there.
Ooh, it's so soft.
Surface Laptop 3.
Sorry that I'm petting your laptop.
Feel free.
But
Elvis loves to be pet.
It's like a suede top or something.
Yeah. It's technically, it's, no, I forgot what it is. I forgot what it's called. Yeah, Alcantara. Oh, here we go. We're going in.
So last year they talked a little bit about IoT, edge computing products, AI.
They love to talk about AI.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we're going to. The Open Data Initiative. So, again, setting the stage for the following year. The end of the era for passwords was another topic. That's been a big conversation this year. So,
Paul Thurrott was saying AI would be another big conversation.
Here. God, AI is going to be a big conversation.
When you connect to the cloud, years. You can bridge gaps.
Oh, very good. But where are the people?
Oh, God, those are the people.
They're inside the boxes.
Get the people out. You see those orange squares? Those are the people.
Here's the house. Here's the steeple.
Open the Microsoft Ignite, and here are the people.
Right. How do we empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more?
It starts with one.
One employee.
One developer.
One organization.
From one employee to a team collaborating with another team.
From one organization to their customers' customers.
Helping local communities, creating jobs. Increasing productivity for the global economy.
Our society.
Our world.
That's the impact.
That's the impact.
That's the impact each of us can have.
That's our opportunity.
100,000 plus employees.
75 million organizations.
7 billion people on the planet.
100 to 75 to 7.
To make every small business more productive.
To make every large business more competitive.
To make nonprofits more effective.
To make government institutions more responsive.
To expand access to education.
To improve healthcare outcomes. And to amplify human ingenuity.
Man, Microsoft's awesome.
Yeah,
when
I'm
we
feeling
empower
it.
Every person and every organization
Sign me
on
up.
The planet to achieve more, we
are these guys
empower.
Again?
More.
Have you heard
I
of this
like
company?
We should have heard of them by now.
Bum ba dum.
Hello, Satya. Satya Nadella taking the stage.
It's great. To be back in Orlando with all of you. We have over 30,000 people from all corners of the world here, and it's great to be celebrating what you all do. I first wanted to start by saying a big thank you. A big thank you for being that community that builds tech capability in every organization in the world. Because what you do and your push, your feedback to us is so important. And today and throughout this week, we're going to celebrate that tech capability and that tech intensity. In fact, my entire keynote is going to be about tech intensity.
Drink.
Now, as I was coming down, someone told me that there's this new exhibit.
You were saying it was a drink. Like, that's a good name
at Universal Studios that perhaps best typifies what tech intensity is all about. A team came together in less than 110 days. They built this pretty amazing exhibit, and I said, wow, to really get into the mood for this morning's keynote, I should go see it. So let's roll the video to show you what happened.
Hello? I need your help. There's a young girl trapped inside this portal, and you have to get her out.
Press the red button on the walkie-talkie and tell me your name.
Satya.
Satya, it's me, Jessica. You can totally help me. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
You gotta get me out of here. Quick! Get his attention!
Woo.
Now's your chance to use your superpowers. Hold up both hands and kill it!
Oh, he's 11.
You did it!
That's incredible.
That was awesome.
I didn't know he had superpowers.
Satya, you saved my life.
This actually isn't a game. This is
That was real life. Saving my life. Yeah, I learned a lot about Demogorgons. But really, in fact, that entire exhibit was created, as I said, by a group of people from Universal who came together and use some amazing tech. Azure Connect is at the edge. So this is a great example of the intelligent edge and the intelligent cloud in action. Azure Connect on the edge did the skeletal understanding, environmental understanding. Then they had Speech Reco right on that walkie-talkie. natural language understanding for the dialogue, as well as neural TTS.
And got his so name that, right.
It did. I was. That was. I'd say my name, and it's like Mika. Mika. How are you?
Intensity as a formula is something that we've talked about for a while now. It's a pretty straightforward formula, but there are some nuances. The first thing is how quickly can you adopt
learning better
new technology?
How to use tech.
Because the last thing when you are building tech, tech capability in your organization is for you to recreate
to the power
the
of trust.
You want
to the power of
trust. Input. And then the most key thing, of course, is for you to build your own tech capability. And then trust is of paramount importance. The power law in this equation is all around trust. Of course, we as platform creators have to care deeply about it, ensure trust. But you all, as creators of tech capability, will also have to treat trust as a first-class construct. Our mission is simply put to empower you to build that tech capability. We want every organization to be a digital software company. And that means you all need to have the capabilities to be able to turn every organization into a digital company. In fact, our goal is to commoditize digital tech. We don't want it to be just the province of a few companies in the West Coast of the United States or the East Coast of China. We want every company out there to be a tech company in its own right, and you are the community that's going to make that happen, and our mission is to empower you to do that. And tech today, what I want to do is walk up the tech stack and talk about how you go about building that tech capability. I want to start at the very bottom of it with Azure and start building up from there. In fact, I want to have some fun with numbers just to motivate each of
what?
The layers of
it's
the tech stack.
It's too early for fun with numbers.
When you look at these two numbers,
now, stickers
50
I can get behind.
Devices
two numbers. Okay, we could do two.
By 2030. And 175 zettabytes of data by 2025, up from around 40 today.
Oh my goodness.
That's what's motivating us. That's what is motivating the need for us to build Azure as this distributed computing fabric.
The world's computer.
As the world's computer. We have over 54 data center regions, more regions than
in Amazon.
Boom, and the feed goes okay
up.
And also to ensure
Azure
that
heard
it has the right certifications.
Said, hold on, what are you about to say?
The digital sovereignty rights all over the world. It's also open. Both Windows and Linux, Java and .NET, Kubernetes, Redshift, VMware, Oracle, SQL Server, Postgres. So every layer of the stack, there is openness. And of course, as we build out this global footprint, sustainability is of paramount importance to us. In fact, this summer we launched a new data center design that is zero waste and 100% renewable energy. It's so exciting to see this. This is going to roll out in Sweden, and it's going to spread throughout every region of Azure. And so we're really ensuring that the power utilization efficiency of every workload as it moves from traditional data centers to the cloud is something that's contributing to the sustainability. Now, yeah, you can clap for that.
Amazon's working on this as well. I mean, they're all moving towards trying to
it doesn't
operations
end in the cloud.
On renewable
in
energy.
Fact, the cloud and that's the good. Edge form that distributed computing fabric. That's been at the core of our vision, our design point for how we built Azure. And we, you know, wanted to make sure that there is consistency in the management control plane. There's consistency in the development environments, as well as the infrastructure across the cloud and edge. It's so critical. When you're building distributed applications, you need that consistency. And of course, that has been our competitive advantage. And today, we want to push that even further. The first thing we're doing is extending the Azure Edge family with some tremendous new innovation. And I wanted to throw it out to Natalia on the show floor to show you some of the latest innovation on Azure Edge. Natalia?
Here we go.
First, have you seen these stickers?
I love them. I love the travel. Well, I guess while they're talking about what they're doing with Intelligent Edge, I will once again thank LastPass for sponsoring this week's episode of the Twit News for the Microsoft Ignite keynote.
Azure Stack Hub provides a full hybrid cloud on premises. It's an integrated system that includes an Azure consistent cloud control plane. It delivers Azure services such as serverless computing with Azure Functions and Azure Kubernetes
right
Engine
now,
to simplify Kubernetes deployment and management.
It's just beautiful.
Azure Stack Hub can run in connected or fully disconnected.
While they're talking about this, I will tell you a little bit more about LastPass. Of course, it's an award-winning security solution that helps millions of individuals and over 43,000 organizations navigate their online lives easily and securely. And you're probably accessing different password-protected accounts all over the place from your smartphone, your smartwatch, your laptop. With the LastPass mobile app, you can continue to have the safety and security of logging in anytime, anywhere, and you still only need one master password. Your LastPass account is backed up and synced across all devices for access to your passwords no matter where you are. And all you got to do is download the password manager from the App Store on your device and log in with the same LastPass account to sync your data. The autofill on mobile devices removes the hassle of typing on small mobile keyboards, which is so nice. It does it for you. You don't have to type those in. And then you'll swipe into the LastPass app with your fingerprint for easy, secure access to your passwords. Safety and security is always with LastPass. Of course, we use LastPass Enterprise here at Twit. It helps us log into all those different things that we're doing, whether it be an account for Google or YouTube or wherever we need to be. It also houses our ability to get on the network here at Twit, which is nice. So all of the employees have access to that. We can get what we need. LastPass also has an expanded business lineup with some amazing features that will improve security across your company and make life easier for your users. If you visit LastPass.com/Twit, it'll help you find out how they can help you. Once again, that's LastPass.com/Twit. Thank you, LastPass.
No initial CapEx required, no minimum commitment.
Is this HoloLens?
As you can see, we have hardware solutions from compute to storage, all the way to AI and mixed reality devices.
Oh, she's wearing
Come
Gucci.
Come see our full spectrum on the show floor. Back to you, Satya.
Thank you so much, Natalia.
Yeah, this is
great
like a Microsoft-focused CES.
The Azure Edge.
Right.
And
yeah, that
in
felt
fact,
very showroom floor.
Tremendous customer momentum already. If you look at Gojo Industries, the creators of Purell, they're already using Azure IoT to build, in fact, sanitization solutions for hospitals. They're in fact going to use Azure Sphere going forward for even better detection and control loop. We have Johnson Controls building out a complete new badge solution for smart buildings that uses facial recognition and some of the cognitive capabilities in Azure IoT with a container on the edge, as well as Hong Kong Stock Exchange, which is obviously running regulated workloads.
You know, that's how I describe myself, a container on the edge.
So these are good, great examples today. And with
that's how I describe you, too.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you see me. You truly see
me. We need the world's needs out there for distributed computing. Now, today, one of the most exciting announcements for us is this next big step forward in hybrid computing. I'm really thrilled to announce Azure Arc. Azure Arc really marks the beginning of this new era of hybrid computing where there is a control plane built for multi-cloud, multi-edge. And not only that, but we for the first time support managed data services to be anywhere your compute is. So again, manage data services that are multi-cloud, multi-edge. We also have two open source projects that allow you to build these cloud-native distributed applications. Both a new programming model that simplifies enterprise application development and a deployment model. And to show you all this, I wanted to throw it out to Aaron on the show floor. Take it away, Aaron.
So while we get to Aaron, this is kind of a big deal. Basically, we're seeing Microsoft really push for having, you know, local, low-power devices that connect to the cloud that have all the processing power there. And so this is just one step farther into that, or further into that.
To your data center, virtually anywhere. Imagine I'm responsible for IT operations at Woodgrove Bag. Here's my IT dashboard. Now, I'm responsible for managing a heterogeneous environment with increasing system sprawl and data silos. And it's my responsibility to deliver the agility the business demands while ensuring the compliance and security of the entire estate. With Azure Arc, I can manage all of my resources seamlessly from the Azure portal, extending management capabilities, Azure management capabilities, to my data center. Now, through a few simple steps, I can connect my data center to Azure. We ran through the steps moments ago on this HP Superdome Flex here on stage. And momentarily, you'll see my Orlando data center show up as an Azure location. There it is.
It's a server, man.
Sometimes I think it'd be cool to do IT, and then I remember, wait, that sounds really complicated.
I know.
My bank is rolling out a new risk management application. Let's see how Azure Arc fundamentally changes the game. So within the Azure Marketplace, you can see preview container instances of the Azure SQL DB and Azure Database for PostgreSQL. My risk management application runs on Azure SQL DB, so I'm going to select that. I'm going to choose to deploy it to that Orlando data center I just created and click Create. Now, what we're deploying is the same evergreen version of SQL available only in Azure. Typically, deploying a DB into a VM on-premises is a lengthy process that can take hours. But as you can see, in a matter of seconds, I was able to install Azure SQL DB to my data center. Even better, I now have access to all of Azure's unique security capabilities. So I can enable advanced data security, and that risk management database can take advantage of Azure capabilities like advanced threat detection and vulnerability assessment. And I can enable this by default with a policy. This is a first for on-premises customers. Let's see what else Azure Arc can do for me.
Yes.
My Chicago data location, another Azure Arc location, is running a number of Azure Arc-enabled data services. Here I see an update reminder. Now, typically, updates and patching is a task that requires constant diligence. I know that Azure automates this for me, but what about Azure Arc? Well, with Azure Arc, I can automate updates in accordance with my bank's policy. So I can specify a custom maintenance window, or I can enable automatic patching and never have to worry about a single update. Back in my IT dashboard, I have another warning. This time, the PostgreSQL Hyperscale database that's powering my mobile banking applications is reaching a CPU limit. Now, typically in this scenario, provisioning the servers and the databases to deal with this unexpected spike in demand is very time-consuming. But Azure Arc understands the capacity available in my data centers, enabling me to scale out on demand. And with PostgreSQL Hyperscale, I can add instances to power that application. I can even scale to over 3,000 nodes if needed. Back in my IT dashboard, I see that vCore count increased, the CPU limit is resolved, and I was able to scale out just as I do in Azure with no application downtime. Now let's take a look at how Azure Arc simplifies IT management and governance for my organization. Most of the workloads that are running in my Chicago data center are running in containers on Kubernetes. With Azure Arc, I can manage Kubernetes from within the Azure portal. Here are all my Kubernetes clusters that are across Azure Arc locations. Now, the security is top priority for the bank. And with Azure Arc, I can create a single policy that will encrypt the disks that are running on those databases on the clusters across on-premises and Azure. So I don't have to worry about the application, the database, where it's running, who's running it. I can rest easy knowing that my data is secure, all with a single policy. This is another first for on-premises customers. Now, as a global bank, I need to serve my customers 24/7 worldwide with minimal downtime. With geo-replication in Azure Arc, I can easily replicate from one on-premises location, Chicago, to another, or to an Azure data center.
One thing to see here is it looks like she's using a Surface Pro X. Is that what it's called?
This is
Surface
a first.
Pro 10X, whatever it is. which is a relatively low-powered device. But she's doing some really high-level, or low-level, frankly, stuff across the entire company, and that's a big deal. To be able to do that using just this small machine, you can be mobile, you can go wherever you want to. It seems to all be powered by Azure Arc.
Right. Yeah, it really feels like Azure Arc is more like this kind of all-encompassing dashboard for all the different types of cloud technology. Be it cloud technology that where you own the servers, and then the public cloud that happens to be out there, and being able to kind of like simultaneously manage across those. I imagine for the person whose job it is to manage that stuff, that makes things a little bit easier.
They're like, yes.
Operators must make decisions on their own and with limited information. And with no interconnected interface between those railways, it's a challenge. And even with a system as complex as the railway, minimal downtime could have serious implications. Willow Rail believed there was a better way. They teamed up with Structon, a maintenance operator, to create a digital twin solution in Azure, creating a comprehensive and real-time view of their network. The Willow Rail distributed application has powerful insights which will enable decision makers to predict faults, optimize utilization, and increase efficiency. Now, we recently released two new open source projects to help our partners like Willow and Structon. Dapper provides a simplified cloud-native programming model for distributed applications, and Rudder simplifies the deployment and management of distributed applications irrespective of where they reside. We look forward to seeing what you do with these innovations. Back to you, Satya.
Thank you so much, Aaron. It's fantastic to see the innovation in art. You know, the next layer of Azure that, again, is very differentiated and very important is the data layer. To support, again, your data estate needs, last summer, we made some giant strides around operational stores. We brought hyperscale SQL, and with Cosmos DB, you now had the support for the variety, the velocity, the volume, your scale needs, of course, the cloud and edge needs for operational data stores. And today, I am really thrilled to announce Azure Synapse.
Ooh.
We're taking the same approach of using the cloud-native memory hierarchy and storage hierarchy to redefine the rules around analytic workloads. We want to bring together what until today have been two separate categories, data warehousing and big data. That means your unstructured and structured analytics can be brought together with unprecedented scale. Azure Synapse changes the game around analytics. To show you all of this, let me throw it over to Rohan on the show floor.
Azure Synapse, it's a good name. While they go to talk about Azure Synapse, just a quick mention again. Thank you so much, LastPass, for sponsoring the Microsoft Ignite keynote event here at Twit, which we are covering live. Again, it is a personal password manager and identity solution for businesses all in one. You only need one master password, and LastPass takes care of the rest. Head to lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
In several months, welcome Azure Synapse Analytics. Synapse is the next generation of the Azure SQL Data Warehouse, which blends together big data analytics, data warehousing, and data integration into a single unified service that provides end-to-end analytics at cloud scale.
Wait, it's only
6:30. As you see on the screen, Synapse makes building these complex end-to-end pipelines into a simple, intuitive, visual, no-code experience. With Synapse, project timelines will be measured in hours and not months. In addition to empowering users to gain quick access and insights across all of their data, Synapse enables a whole new level of performance and scale that is simply unmatched in the industry. Let's take a look. What you see on the screen is our analytics application that's powered by Azure Synapse. Now, to essentially analyze end-user engagement, I need access to a variety of data, including the current engagement times, in-game click streams, application metrics, and telemetry data from our device partners. In short, petabytes of data. With the Open Data Initiative, accessing additional high-value data from systems like Adobe is really simple.
Did you say zettabytes?
Now, to start, I'd like to find out the longest playing duration of players per feature, where the total playing time is less than 20% of the average playing time. Filtered.
So it looks like Azure Synapse is a tool that helps you dig into your analytics in a very easy way, which that's a big deal. If you are confronted with a giant database of analytics and you're trying to actually get some knowledge from it, to have a tool that helps you go to say, I want this and I want it specifically when it's doing this and this and this, to dig in and have that available to you is really nice.
Or find the crossover between the data, sort of stuff, taking these wide spreads of data stores that, that companies have and actually being able to put some make some sense out of it.
Wow. It just took 9 seconds to execute this complex query against a petabyte-scale data set. Now, in the interest of some friendly comparison, let me run the same query against Google's BigQuery. Now, what I'm doing here is running the exact same query against the exact same data set running
Not
in
to call you out or anything,
as
but
it's taking a little longer. Now, in the interest of time,
the Jeopardy
we ran
music.
This query earlier. Oh. Any guesses on how long it took 2%. Google's BigQuery to complete the same query? 2 minutes?
10 minutes?
5 minutes? 8 minutes, maybe? Let's take a look.
Fast forward.
It took a whopping 11 minutes. So for this complicated query, Synapse is 75 times faster than Google's BigQuery. Now, TPCH is a very comprehensive benchmark for analytics. The current state of art for TPCH is 30 terabytes. I'm really excited to announce that with Synapse, we've successfully run all the 22 TPCH queries in record time at 1 petabyte.
I bet that's a big deal.
Now, let's take a look and
Thank
a
you.
Different capability of
Thank
Synapse.
Thank you, audience, for that laugh.
Query concurrency has long been a challenge for all analytic systems. Now, to showcase how Synapse empowers users
AWS.
With limitless scale, I have a dashboard here that compares it with the other offerings in the market. Now, what's backing this dashboard is a system that allows me to issue concurrent user access using industry-standard benchmark queries. Let's start with 50 concurrent users. As you can see, even with this fewer user set, Synapse, based on the query response times, is 3 times faster than Amazon's Redshift and 5 times faster than Google's BigQuery. How about raising the stakes a little bit? Let's go to 150 concurrent users.
Let's do it.
As you see on the screen, while Synapse continues to do great, we've hit the limits with both Amazon's Redshift and Google's BigQuery. Redshift starts queuing requests at around 100, resulting in significantly increased query response time and a vastly degraded end user experience. BigQuery users actually have a worse experience. By default, BigQuery starts failing requests beyond 100. So if you happen to be the 101st user, you're out of luck. How about raising the stakes to true enterprise scale? Do you think Synapse can handle 10,000 concurrent queries?
Yes.
Let's try it out.
Better.
Can you do it?
If you're the one saying that it could, then it better.
Easily able to handle 10,000 concurrent users. What you're seeing on the screen is it's working flawlessly with 10,000 concurrent queries operating on the system. Now, let's take a look at a couple of additional capabilities of Synapse. As you see on the screen, we've deeply integrated Synapse with Power BI, making them the best combination in the industry. For example, you can build Power BI reports and enterprise-grade semantic models right from within the Synapse's workspace. With this level of deep integration between Power BI and Synapse, business users can gain insights that they need to make their data-driven decisions in a timely manner. Synapse also deeply integrates with Azure Data Share, enabling secure sharing of data and insights both within an organization and across organizations with your partners with just a few simple clicks. Now, some of you may be wondering, what's the magic behind Synapse? Well,
artificial intelligence.
To achieve this limitless performance, scale, and true simplicity, we've completely re-architected the analytics stack on Azure from the ground up. Specifically, we've merged data lakes and data warehouses into a single system that essentially enables querying across both relational and non-relational data. We support true online elasticity through a cloud-native design that separates out our compute and storage layers so that they can be scaled out independently. We have intelligent multi-level caching, which leverages the memory hierarchy and SSDs in an efficient way to give you the best price performance for workloads of any size and scale. Our query scheduling is workload aware, and we support multi-master clusters over shared data sets, giving us infinite concurrency and scale. Finally, Synapse supports both a serverless query service and a cluster-based form factor for both Apache Spark and ANSI SQL, enabling all the analytic workloads that you can imagine. Well, a modern analytics platform, all this stuff is cool, but what about predicting the future?
Yes.
Isn't a modern analytics platform supposed to do that? Well, with Synapse's deep integration with Azure Machine Learning, you can scale out, build, and operationalize complex and very powerful machine learning models right from within the Synapse's workspace. Let me show you how. I'd like to predict...
It's also a time machine.
The propensity
it's about time.
...or the likelihood it's of our user base actually buying in-game add-ons filtered by age demographic. Synapse enables me to do this by actually writing a pretty modeling a simple query that also includes native scale-out machine learning-based scoring on the Synapse nodes. Let's see how the query works. As you saw, the response times was near instantaneous, and I got my predictive analytics within Synapse.
See, yeah, this is a big deal.
Yeah. Synapse makes AI and ML really
you're able to dig through all these analytics and use it not just for stuff that you, like queries that you're trying to happen now, but even these predictive recommendations.
Sure.
That, I'm sure, is huge for folks who are combing through data to have that sped up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. The time required to sift through all of that data, if that's your job and you do most of your job waiting.
Yeah.
This is a really big deal.
As Rowan was describing, not only do you need to build this limitless data estate, you need to make sure that you can do AI compute close to that data. And so our goal has been to democratize AI by building out the best infrastructure in Azure for doing AI and creating your own AI solutions, providing you the best, most productive framework and tools with Azure ML, as well as prepackaged AI capabilities with cognitive services for speech and language understanding, computer vision. And we continue to push the frontiers of it. And it's great to see the customer traction. In fact, one of the things that I sort of every day check is to sort of think about and see the customers deploying this in real-world solutions. And you see Spotify, for example, using cognitive services to change how they do podcasts. In fact, you can edit a podcast by just editing the text because of this text-to-speech capability.
Wait, in Spotify?
You have The Atlantic taking 160 years worth of their content.
That's kind of like what you were talking about before, the podcast service that lets you edit a transcript.
Oh, right.
Spotify, edit podcast.
ASOS, a fashion retailer and a fashion brand, is using the decision system and Azure ML to build their recommendations.
That's one of my favorite fashion brands, genuinely. So if they help me better find recommendations for the clothes that I want, that's awesome.
With application development on Azure. I want to talk about three areas where we're pushing the boundaries of where computing is going. I want to start with autonomous systems. You know, when we think about autonomous systems, the first place we go to is autonomous cars. But in fact, wherever there is a control loop today, you can think about AI-driven autonomy. In fact, that's our goal with autonomous systems. Across industries,
Spotify owns a company called Soundtrap, and Soundtrap is an online editing studio for podcasts.
Oh, I gotcha.
They're doing edits on there.
And it's a couple of key elements. First is to really push the boundaries of reinforcement learning so that you can build an AI engine that's capable of driving autonomy. But one of the things that's important for us is to take engineers who today build these control systems and turn them into AI engineers by really helping them teach machines. So we have a new paradigm called machine teaching, where the engineers are teaching this AI engine by putting constraints, even giving it safety bounds, so that you can now have autonomous systems that are driven by engineers' domain knowledge. Of course, you have a simulation environment where you generate all of the synthetic data and these machine teaching labels in order to be able to train these models and then ultimately to be able to pick the right model to drive the autonomy. Recently, DARPA had a challenge, a subterranean challenge, and Carnegie Mellon University along with Oregon State were the ones who won this championship using the Azure Autonomous Systems. And it was pretty fascinating. There was a mine in Pennsylvania where you had to have this autonomous system go find objects. In fact, they won because they found 2 times the number of objects compared to their competition. And they were able to find objects within 20 centimeter distance of where they were located, right? Completely autonomously. Wow. And it's fantastic to see that type of progress.
DARPA's cool.
And what we're very, very excited about is to see, first of all, even partnerships we have with MathWorks, where they're bringing simulation engine to Azure to, in fact, enable more of this simulation-driven autonomy, as well as really the application across many, many different industries. And I wanted to give you a feel by rolling a video of some of the use cases. Let's roll the video.
Roll that beautiful bean footage. While they're rolling that beautiful bean footage, once more, I want to remind you about LastPass. Because without LastPass, we would not be here, this morning. And we want to thank them. If you are trying to up your privacy and protection online, then you should check out LastPass. It's a great way to save passwords and to be able to log into different sites without worrying about your passwords being compromised. You know, the problem with using one password across all of your different applications and sites and things like that is that suddenly the weakest site is the biggest issue, because once somebody gets access to that weakest site, gets your password, then they have access to your email account if you're using the same password there, where they can then go and reset everything and take control of your entire online profile. It's not good to be using the same password across sites. And with LastPass, you just remember one password and it takes care of the rest. Different passwords for different sites all across the web, which makes you more secure. So if you head to lastpass.com/twit, you can learn more. Thank you again to LastPass for sponsoring all of Twit, and in particular, our coverage of the Microsoft Ignite keynote.
Thank you, LastPass.
This is going to create an FAA regulatory world for the 21st century.
The opportunity is to make all of this easy to use, to quickly build the models so they can simulate on a massive scale without being computer scientists.
I want a wormy robot that climbs walls. No,
a wormy robot. Like in the real world. Well, in the future, we'll all have our own pet wormy robot.
Powered by, what are you going to name yours?
Again, oh, core part of compute.
Oh.
And so one of the things that we're thinking about
just
is
gives
how
up. It's too early.
Human in storage.
Let me think on that one.
We were inspired by the use case.
I'm calling mine Greg.
From Warner Brothers. Now, Warner Brothers stores some of the most iconic movies of our time.
Here,
Superman, Wizard of Oz, in storage systems like the one you see in the picture behind me.
Old school storage.
Now, of course, it's all in film. It's in a temperature-controlled room. And that means it's fragile. If there was any kind of drop in temperature, or if there is any kind of other issue, you would lose, in fact, the originals of Superman. Now, that would be a tragedy. Now, what we said, okay, what if
it's stored on
we
a data
sort
crystal.
Of rethought this? What if we can take a piece of glass? This is just a regular quartz glass, and using femto lasers.
Stop.
We were able to etch into this glass.
What?
The entire Superman movie.
What?
Now, what is fascinating about doing that is.
I just said data crystal. It's there. He's holding it.
You're very prescient.
Multidimensional space inside of the glass. And so, therefore, you need to be able to read it using machine learning algorithms.
I'm watching it right now. Like this.
So we built this entire system that's fully capable of essentially a new cold storage system. But the interesting thing, of course, is the reliability of this piece of glass.
Just don't
so we had
it.
Some, yeah. Really, we put it through the ringer. We boiled it.
Oh. Okay.
We baked it. We shook it around. We tried to scratch it with wool. And we still have the Superman movie.
Did you drop it? And that's right. The one I want to know.
So
can it shatter?
And we really are really excited about, you know, working here.
Regardless,
though,
if they're stored safely but don't have to be temperature controlled, that's really big. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Now, the last area
that feels
around pushing the frontiers of computing I want to talk about
just like
is quantum.
Sliding the thing of glass in.
And so
we
dang appropriate for Superman, too.
On trying to build a general purpose quantum computing environment. Because it's, you know, today, with
all the. I can't wait for someone to explain quantum computing to me in a way that actually makes sense.
I get it. Moving forward, I get it.
Right? Whether it's around food safety or climate change or energy transition, these are big challenges that need more computing. But we need general purpose quantum. And so it requires a different type of approach. It requires a platform approach. And today I'm
GPQ, as my friends in the industry like to call it.
Azure Quantum. And it has three elements.
Microsoft calls it AQ, thank you.
First, it is about open hardware. We are very excited to have partners, two Ion Trap partners, which is Ion IQ and Honeywell. So this is, they make machines that trap ions. And then a superconducting partner, QCI, joins us with, in fact, our own quantum effort with topological qubits, which is also a superconducting machine. So we'll have a variety of hardware solutions that are going to be all opened in Azure. Now, of course, if you have a variety of hardware, the first thing you want to do is build an open software ecosystem on top of it. And so we have built that with Q-Sharp, which is open source, QDK, that's open sourced. And today, we're also pleased to announce OneQubit also joining with their simulation machine learning capabilities on Azure. So to build a complete toolkit for software developers to get started on building quantum computers and quantum algorithms. Now, one of the most interesting things about quantum is you can get started
the network.
With There's room here somewhere.
Algorithms on top of classical because of the simulation capabilities that we have.
Okay.
Now, we've seen, in fact, many use cases already across healthcare, across finance, and the electrical grid as well. But one example that stands out is what Case Western Reserve University, along with Cleveland Clinic, have been doing. I want to roll the video to give you a feel for how you can do quantum-inspired work on classical computers.
This is interesting, to not actually have to have quantum computing hardware,
today, the
but do quantum computing.
It takes a while to scan. The other problem is that the MRI scans that we do today have limited sensitivity. So we can see some diseases, but there are other diseases that we can't. Our laboratory's developed a new way to do MRI scans called magnetic resonance fingerprinting.
In general, we want to make the MR scan faster and more robust, meaning that we can get good result consistently, no matter where the patient is scanned.
Azure Quantum has really inspired us to look at the future. In every fingerprinting scan, there's actually thousands of decisions that we have to make in order to set up the right scan. Surprising, but the scale of that optimization problem is beyond what we can solve with conventional computing.
Conventional optimization algorithms, typically they have some assumptions. For example, they assume that scanner system is perfect or patient in the perfect position. But in reality, there are lots of confounding factors that may change the signal. If the algorithm does not consider all this, then the result may not be optimal.
We're working with Azure Quantum to use their quantum-inspired algorithms to start to solve these problems.
We provide the question and the target, and they're using their algorithm to help us to find optimal results.
Working with Azure has given us improvement in speed and about a 30% improvement in our precision. The results we're getting are allowing us to see diseases earlier than before and to quantify the treatments that we're giving. Working with Azure Quantum has enabled us to do things that we just couldn't do before. It's really changed the way that we think about MRI scans, and we see a whole new world of possibilities that we didn't before. These results from the quantum-inspired algorithms are going to impact the healthcare of billions of people worldwide.
So now, quantum in the cloud.
As we build out,
doing for quantum computing what they've already and everybody right now is working on already, providing artificial intelligence in the cloud.
Yeah,
a couple of years ago, AI was something that was, you know, very sought after but very difficult to pull off on your own. Put it in the cloud as a service.
And so we've got AI,
democratizes
ML,
that,
and now everybody's going to be talking about quantum
now
computing.
Now it's quantum, yeah, the next wave.
That we deploy into production have to ensure that there is no bias built into it. We have to improve the state of the art of the development processes with things like machine learning ops and data lineage so that we really ensure that AI is safe. But what I want to talk about today is cyber and security. And simply because this number.
Like cybersecurity?
Just last year, the total amount of cost of cyber attacks was $1 trillion.
Wow.
And the sad part of this is the people who are most impacted by this is small and medium businesses all over the world and consumers. And so therefore, it is our collective responsibility to do our best work to ensure that the most vulnerable of these populations are protected. And that's why we have focused on this end-to-end security architecture. From identity to devices, to cloud applications, to information and data, to infrastructure. How do we have one integrated architecture? And open it up, in fact, for all third parties using the security graph to participate as well, because we need the ecosystem support. But have that consistency in architecture. Now, especially with the management control planes now, one of the most exciting announcements of Ignite is going to be the Microsoft Endpoint Manager that brings together the comprehensive management control plane for all endpoints. And Azure Arc, you now can really deploy the security policies. Not only can you find the vulnerability, but you can deploy the remediation to all endpoints, all infrastructure, all data. That's what we mean by the end-to-end architecture. And a couple of use cases. There was an attack on 10 smaller pharma companies. And it was a phishing attack. It was a social engineering attack. First of all, in most cases, 95% of the time, the ATP capabilities in Office 365 were able to catch it. And even if it went to the endpoint, Microsoft Defender was able to catch it. So that ability to have defense in depth is so important, and that end-to-end architecture support is so important. Rapid Deploy is a company that builds mission-critical software to handle emergency calls, 911 calls. And so each municipality deploys their software. And unfortunately, some of these deployments have been attacked, especially one recently in North Carolina was attacked by ransomware. And now, though, Rapid Deploy is using Azure Sentinel, is continuously monitoring all of their deployments and ensuring the security of their entire estate. And this is great, again, to see how this end-to-end architecture and the ability to proactively mitigate on cyber attacks is being used. So now I want to move up from infrastructure and trust to the next layer.
Developer intensity.
Now, this is obviously very close and near and dear to everyone at Microsoft, because this is how we as a company got started building developer tools. But one of the most interesting things that's happening out there is today when you look at the software engineering jobs, 61% of the openings are outside of what is considered the tech industry. In fact, the crossover, the tipping point was 2017. And therefore, our mission that we got started in 1975 is even more important. That is to build the best tool chain, the most complete tool chain for developers. With Visual Studio Code, we have the best IDEs out there. We're doing language innovation like TypeScript. We have Azure DevOps to help you with all of your build and deployment needs. And of course, GitHub is the home for 40 plus million open source developers and collaboration and communities. And sort of really bringing all of that is what our goal is. In fact, the use cases, some of the sort of innovations that you will see, I'm really thrilled about. The first one is Visual Studio Online. I mean, you should check this out. Even just last night, I was going and playing with it. I signed up for it. It's a game changer for anyone who struggles on weekends to create your own dev environments. This is a godsend because you now can go to Visual Studio Online. You can get your entire environment provisioned for you with all its dependencies right there just on a browser on any machine. Another one is IntelliCode. We are using AI, learning from all of the open source code out there on GitHub, and then bringing that intelligence to your editor. As you type your code, it's doing all of the completion so that you can build on the shoulders of giants. And that's a way to drive productivity. And another one is LiveShare. Now, just imagine what it can do for a young developer who joins a team, wants to have some code review or goes consult with a mentor. LiveShare changes the dynamics because no development project is a solo sport. It's always a team sport. So really bringing that next level of innovation with GitHub and LiveShare changes the dynamics and culture of organizations. And we see fantastic adoption of this tool chain from companies like Stripe to the Veterans Affairs to Cargill to Comcast. And to give you a flavor for how culture of dev organizations is changing using these tools, let's roll the video from Comcast.
Oh, that's who it is. Well, while Comcast is Comcasting it up, I'll remind you again about our pals at LastPass. We were just hearing, what was it, $1 trillion from cybersecurity attacks, the cost there. You need to secure your online existence. You know, I think about people who will say, well, you know, I'm not wanted by the CIA, so I don't really need to secure my passwords online. Nobody's coming after me.
No, I'm not interesting.
I'm not interesting enough to be hacked. That's not the issue. First of all, you are interesting enough. And
yes,
you should
tell
feel
yourself that.
Yeah, don't tell yourself you're not interesting. You're interesting. But secondly, that's not really how a hacker is thinking about things. It's a game of numbers. They are going in, they're collecting hundreds of thousands of credentials, and they are uploading those to sites where folks can go in and make use of those. And a lot of times it's just like your accounts get rolled into bots and get turned into bots. And so suddenly your accounts, your identity becomes a way to be used against other people, be leveraged against other people. Point is, whether you think that you are vulnerable or not, the fact is you are, and you should very much consider how your passwords play into that. And so LastPass can help you. You just remember one master password. LastPass takes care of the rest, helps you differentiate across all those sites, keeps you safe, and keeps you protected. Head to lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
Getting involved in a very deep way.
Oh, yeah. Now we're up to the power platform with the tech intensity. That's my favorite workout
move. We are going to have 500 million applications that are going to get created new by 2023. That's, just to kind of put it in perspective, more than all the applications that were created in the last 40 years. And so that means we need to empower citizen developers with tools that are low-code, no-code tools so that they can build out these applications. And that's what Power Platform is all about. In fact, there are already 2.5 million citizen developers using Power Platform. And it's great to see this community. And, you know, one of the things that inspires me is to listen to their stories, that feeling of empowerment, of making a difference, building that digital capability in an organization, perhaps most truly comes through from this community. Let's roll the video to hear from them.
The Microsoft Power Platform has been a huge part of our success. The tools and the products have really empowered our mission and our team to succeed.
But being involved in a community allows you to realize that you've got a support network of so many people that you can reach out to.
My career would not be where it is today if it was not for the community. I am a product of the community.
It's like a family which has become so strong and so powerful. Everyone who has any questions, hashtag Power Addicts, you get an answer.
But by being part of this community, it's given me a chance to not only solve business problems, but also help bridge the gap and help new people find new skills.
The Power Platform has allowed my teachers, my students, and myself to do more in less time.
The Power Platform community has meant we are able to deliver incredible innovation really quickly, and has meant that I've made just a wonderful group of friends.
From Ignite, no, it's really right awesome now around this, including the ability to build bots, virtual agents, Power Platform tools.
Yeah, you and I are actually must be looking at the same thing here. Mary Jo Foley is doing some excellent work over on ZDNet, covering what's happening here and digging in a little bit more. If you're wondering about Power Platform, you can think of it almost like the creation of workflows. It's low cost. You don't have to code anything. You basically can put these tools together to, like we were just talking about, create bots, or if you want to be able to automate certain things to speed up your process, then you can do so. So the no AI training, no code bot is a big deal that you don't have to add any of your training yourself, that it, you know, it's already ready and set up to work with whatever system you might be working on. So pretty interesting stuff here that will save time for people, save money especially for people. And I think that's why they kind of pointed out the teacher as one example there. I'm actually curious to learn more about this, so we'll hear about it from True Green.
Thank you, Satya. For over 40 years, True Green has helped homeowners create beautiful and healthy lawns. And one of the most important ways they engage their customers is with the True Green website. And in the past, if a customer wanted to schedule an appointment for a True Green agent to come out to their home, they'd have to call a 1-800 number during business hours. Very lengthy, painful process. However, with Power Virtual Agents, True Green has been able to completely transform how they engage their customers. Their customers can now just walk up and report the actual issue that they're facing, and this will go use Power Virtual Agents on the back end to identify common issues that can be causing that problem, and it even integrates with the True Green knowledge base, so it can pull back all the relevant information for that particular problem. And on top of that, with all that additional information, I can even go start to schedule an appointment. And just by providing my email address, it will actually go to the True Green backend, call their scheduling APIs, and find the next best time for me to have an appointment. And just like that, I'm able to go book a True Green agent to come out to my home. Something that used to take a few hours, now it could just take a couple minutes.
Nice.
But what's really special about it is how they built it. True Green used Power Virtual Agent, the newest addition to the Power Platform, which makes it possible for everyone in the world to go create chatbots without having to write any code. And the way Power Virtual Agents works is we can see on the right-hand side of the screen a visual designer that captures the entire chatbot experience as well as the AI that backs it. And on the left-hand side, something called tracing, which makes it easy for you to actually watch how your customer interacts with that chatbot. So if I go run through the same set of steps as I was doing before, we can see that on the right-hand side of the screen, the Power Virtual Agent chatbot will automatically start showing all the different steps as they run through. And if I zoom in here, we can see all the different user responses that I offered. And if I go back out, we can see that's exactly what the customer sees in their chat experience as well. And this just continues to advance through using all kinds of great AI capabilities without requiring code or data science. And if I want to go schedule an appointment, that requires calling out to the True Green backend system. And to do that, I use Power Automate. Power Automate has over 275 different connectors, which make it possible to connect to all your different business applications right out of the box. So when I provide my email address, that actually is going to that backend system and looking up the next best time for me to have an appointment and to send a True Green agent out. And for this next part, when I confirm that I want to have this appointment, we can see that it's using Power Automate again. However, the system I want to interact with is a contact management system, which is legacy and Win32 app, which doesn't have any APIs. The only way I can talk to it is through the UI. And that's where the brand new UiFlows capability of Power Automate comes into play. It makes it possible for me to just record a series of steps on my desktop, which will then run in the background as part of my standard Power Automate workflows.
It's cool to get the view of kind of like in progress within the tools zipping to that point.
Yeah. The virtual agent for the email for the user, paste that in there. I can then go click search after I do that, and that will actually... make it so that I can go search that particular record in that contact management system. So I switch over to, say, the activities tab, and then what I want to do is I want to capture all of the outputs from that chat experience, because that information will be useful for the TrueGreen agent when they go out to the home. And that makes it possible so the customer has a complete end-to-end experience with TrueGreen, all integrated and highly automated. I click done, I can switch back to Power Automate, and we can see inside that same web-based Power Automate visual designer, all the steps I just recorded are visible. And if I expand each of these individual steps, we can see the search box, the text command, all of that information is captured in a completely automated way that allows me to very easily record this information in that contact management system. Now, I'm switching back to Power Virtual Agent. And once I confirm this appointment, it's actually going to go trigger that UiFlow that I just built. And what this is going to do is it's going to capture all that information that I just was entering inside the chatbot and open up that Win32 application and simulate all the same keyboard inputs and mouse clicks that I just did. And this uses three different types of rules and AI to make sure that it's selecting exactly the right control in that UI automation, making it incredibly robust and durable. And this is a great example. This is a great example of how when you use the Power Platform, you can do two really amazing things. The first is without writing any code, everyone can be a developer and completely transform how your business operates. And the second is that you can do all of it without replacing your back office software or systems. Between data connectors and UI flows, we can connect to anything in your business and make it easy and actually affordable to go completely transform your company in a very short period of time. And to show another great example of this in action, we're going to roll a great video from the American Red Cross.
The American Red Cross's mission is to help prevent and alleviate human suffering. And to do that, they rely very heavily on volunteers all across the country.
We respond to everything from a single-family house fire to tornadoes, tsunamis, you name it, we'll respond to it. We couldn't do our mission without the volunteers. Nationwide, we have about 372,000, and they are the backbone of our workforce.
My role is a logistics lead, and I'm also an IT champion. I do almost 100% of my work from my home. I'm working with people that are all across the country.
I have different challenges in disaster response and in my daily job. It's distance and the number of people. So we've really started to use Microsoft Teams. That has been a tool for us to be able to not only have video conference calls and share screens and share information, but also just organize the work in general.
With Teams, you can connect with the people and actually get to the point where you're developing a network with them.
Last year, we lost 15,000 homes in the campfire. 60 days into that disaster, we still had a persistent shelter population. We decided to use Microsoft Power BI and using some of these Power apps, pull all the information in together. And that really enabled all of the agencies to work together. And within a little under 30 days, we were able to close the shelter and make sure that everybody had a place to stay.
Anybody in the Red Cross can create a Power app. We're using Power Automate to help increase the automation. We just set up a flow for it. So that's helping us save time. It's streamlining the process. Now with Power Apps, we feel that the data is trustworthy and we can make better and quicker decisions.
And using some of these Power Apps, dashboards, and other systems have enabled them to really see what's going on, to see the bigger picture, to see how they fit in.
Technology has really helped us in trying to fulfill the mission of the American Red Cross. All of those have been great tools that reduce the time that we're spending collaborating and coordinating so that we can really focus in on those that are impacted by the disaster.
My job is to help people. I have the greatest job in the world.
You know, music aside, sweet music aside, it really does feel empowering when you create tools that are able to be used by other people and you know, by yourself to speed things up. And so I really like this empowering citizen developers idea.
It's about the people.
It's about the people.
It's great to see
he gets it.
It's democratizing how applications and technology is being built everywhere by domain experts, citizen developers, people who are closest to solving some of the hard challenges. Now, going up one more layer in the stack, business process. One of the things that's going to define the competitiveness of every business going forward is going to be how well do you harness the power of all the data that is there in your enterprise to drive the transformational outcomes for your company. It's not about sort of other people using your data. It is about how good are you at driving your business process using the data that you have. That's core to what we are trying to do with Dynamics 365. In fact, today, when you think about the amount of data there is, one of the sad facts is 73% of the data is not analyzed. That means you're not able to drive that next level of automation, creation of that next level of predictive power or analytical power, because that's going to define competitive advantage. And our goal with Dynamics 365 is to build out that world's connected business cloud so that you can harness all of your data to drive the productivity of your business process. That means you want to create these digital feedback loops across all the key elements, people, operations, products, customers. All of that has to come together. In fact, an AI-first company is a company that knows how to take data from one system and change the outcome of another system. And that's what we endeavor to do with Dynamics 365. In fact, a great example of this is the customer data platform and customer insights. This is all new innovation in Dynamics, and it typifies this change in paradigm from being reactive to data to being proactive with data.
You know what this makes me realize?
How do you take all of the data that you have in the enterprise?
And I feel like what he's saying right now is not entirely important in the moment. Just the difference between Microsoft and then companies like Google and Apple, where even when they're talking to developers, the conversation is more consumer-based. Microsoft is...
With Microsoft?
So Microsoft goes over here, Google and Apple, more consumer-based,
yes,
even when they're talking
to
developers. And so these companies are rooted very much hardware and software in providing apps and services and hardware for consumers, everyday consumers. And Microsoft, it's so clear how much of a business backing they have. I mean, they run businesses. Businesses run off of Microsoft in many different ways, and these conversations that we're they're having here at Ignite, it makes it very clear, because the conversation, the thing that they're talking about right now, where we're digging into 73% of data that's not being used or processed or whatever, that's not something that I think of you or I needing, you or me needing, and so. Anyway, it's just an interesting perspective, and it makes me curious about the crowd that's there at the actual event and how many people are everyday consumers and how many people are business people that are looking for the latest developments in that sense.
I think a lot on the latter, and that's just been Microsoft's legacy for years and years, is appealing to that market. Mm-hmm. But a lot of what they're also showing here seems to be, yes, it's still geared for the enterprise, obviously, and for the people who are really working the nuts and bolts behind the scenes, but they're democratizing some of this, continuing to try to take these high-level things and make it accessible, like building out the chatbot that they were talking about.
Right.
That could be something that's incredibly complicated and difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Yet they're creating these tools so that it kind of lowers the bar a little bit, so that, I'm pretty confident that given some time, you or I could probably sit down with that particular tool and build out a chatbot.
Right.
And
yeah,
that could be something that... you know, that is only enabled through the usability and ease of the tool that they're creating around all this complex stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Apple, like, part of their financial earnings call, there's a small part of it devoted to here's how we're working with businesses, mm-hmm. Intel and other big companies. But it's such a small part, and I think it's fascinating how Microsoft kind of has it's almost a half split, or maybe it's three quarters the businesses, one quarter the everyday consumer. And so seeing how maybe they sort of trickle down, they create these tools that are needed and 100% necessary in big businesses, but then they can be adapted and used by everyday people. That's mm-hmm. really interesting mm-hmm. and kind of a cool, different way of doing things than I'm used to with Google and Apple and the way that they run their shows.
Yeah.
From regional transmission organizations and weather data. This aggregated data set lands in Azure, meaning you have full control of your data while being backed by security and compliance from Microsoft Cloud Services. And with this data sitting in Azure, you can run powerful analytics with Synapse. With the AI and machine learning capabilities of Customer Insights, AEP can now precisely identify customer segments to target with energy recommendations, like this one here, high energy consumers. This data and insights can be translated in real time to influence how AEP employees better sell and service their customers. For instance, AEP can proactively dispatch an energy manager to go on site. The energy manager can see all the specific device details for that anomaly with their behind-the-scene meter or a generator. And looking here, they can see that this customer is in the high energy use category, and an alert indicates that they could benefit from alternative energy options. When looking at this customer detail further, I see all that rich information from Customer Insights, the full contact information, a timeline of activities, but the thing that I see most here at the top is the spike in energy use on hot days that exceeds the network capacity. The intelligent recommendations are telling me that the customer could benefit from solar as a way to reduce their energy consumption by 35% and fixed energy as a way to limit the expected rising cost. Now, seeing is believing, and I want to make sure that the customer has confidence in their purchase decision. With Dynamics 365, Product Visualize, and the power of mixed reality, I can help the customer explore solar panels right here in person. Now, solar panels can be extremely complex and technical.
Is that an iPad?
But seeing them taken apart makes it far easier to understand.
Is it an iPad?
Instead of videos and brochures,
I think it is an iPad.
Product Visualize allows the energy manager to help the customer to better understand the product, creating a more confident purchasing experience at the real-world scale of using mixed reality. This notation feature allows us to quickly highlight in context with data, as well as existing marketing materials, like this note here about polycrystalline wafers, which when compared to monocrystalline, absorb sunlight better in partially cloudy climates like Columbus.
Yeah, it's an iPad
now,
Pro. So one of the things Microsoft, they are not committed to being on one platform. They want to be everywhere. Satya Nadella has made that clear since he took over, and they'll be wherever you are is kind of their whole deal. And Apple's AR stuff is relatively good. And so,
that thing down.
For those who are listening and not seeing, the gal that's presenting right now almost pulled the iPad Pro off of the table by tripping over the wire. That's what our little moment there was.
I mean, it stopped right at the end.
Together with their customers, AEP is redefining the future of energy and developing innovative solutions that power communities and improve lives. Now back to you, Satya.
Whoa, he's not on the big stage anymore.
Thank you, Dina. I'm here at Modern Work Portal to talk about the next layer of our stack with Microsoft 365 and empowering the knowledge workers and the first-line workers. In fact, the two stats that motivate all of our work here is 25 and 40%. It takes 25 minutes to get back on task when you're multitasking, and you lose something like 40% of your productivity. And so with all this abundance of computing around us, what is scarce is human attention. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are building the world's productivity cloud with Microsoft 365 to help you focus on things that matter the most to you. And the way we're doing this is by starting by putting people at the center of it all.
The people.
That means we've to really think about how they express themselves, how they communicate, how they collaborate, how they create knowledge inside of the organization. That's what drives all the innovation across Microsoft 365. But it starts with device innovation. Devices are the most personal things in our lives. And we want to make sure that we are bringing the best-in-class innovation, starting from the silicon to new form factors. We just recently had the Surface launch, where we really pushed the envelope of creation of new categories and new types of devices. And right behind me is the wall of all the devices from Surface and all of the innovation in our OEM partners and ecosystem. It's great to see this come to life. Now, ultimately, we want to drive new experiences that take advantage of these new devices. We want to infuse AI into every experience out there.
We know you do.
We're infusing AI into PowerPoint. Presentations are more persuasive. Data is more actionable in Excel. Videos are more searchable in Stream, and emails are more accessible through Cortana. Microsoft Teams has been a breakout experience. It brings together, for the very first time in one user experience scaffolding, chat, meetings, collaboration, as well as business process. And 350 organizations with over 10,000 users are using Teams already. So it's really amazing to see the momentum around Teams. And today at Ignite, we're taking that even a step further. Some of the features that you all have been waiting for: private channels are now generally available, multi-window chats to pop out chats and meetings into separate windows, new integrations into Yammer and Outlook. It's fantastic to see all of this come together. Now, the next step forward for us in M365 or Microsoft 365 is knowledge. If you look at it, you're using your devices, you're using these applications, you're creating perhaps the most valuable data about your people, their relationship to other people, the expertise, the artifacts of work. All this today is raw data. We want to convert that into knowledge that accrues on a continuous basis. This is, again, putting your data to work for you. And so I'm really thrilled to announce Project Cortex. And Project Cortex takes what is data today inside of your organization and converts it into knowledge. You now have AI-driven topics. So essentially, you have AI creating topic wikis inside the enterprise. You have the ability now, in the context of any document or any mail, for example, if you get an email with an acronym, you can look up what that acronym means, because AI, again, has gone to work to convert that data into knowledge. But more interestingly, you can find the experts who know something about that acronym, and you can really integrate and interact with them. You can also interrogate a document. You can have a conversation with a document. Say you're looking at a contract, you can ask the contract, when is the first payment due? That's, again, converting data into knowledge. To show you all of this and a lot more, let me throw it out to Melissa and Sonia to show you all
Melissa,
the innovation across
this is
Microsoft
an interesting thing. This kind of makes, this is odd to me, because it makes me think, a comparison. We are talking on Slack. we're communicating with a team on Slack, and then this machine is looking at all the conversations we have on Slack and makes a wiki out of it. That feels a little bit privacy scary.
It does. I suppose it's within your organization and it's all related. You know, it also, you know, reaches into Microsoft Docs and all these other things. So it's like an overarching kind of knowledge base of everything related to, well, not just your business, but, you know, everything related to your account. So I suppose, yeah, that could be a privacy.
Yeah.
Snafu.
I'm sure there are, you know, flips that can, or switches that can be flipped to make it good. And I like the idea of questions that get asked a lot being something that's available to everybody, so that they don't have to continue to be asked.
But
let's see what they're doing with this email here.
And proactively highlighted it for me. When I hover over it, I get a topic card. Clicking in brings me to an AI-generated knowledge network that pulls together experts on the topic as well as content like presentations, videos, and conversations. All curated for me in this pattern map. This is a great way to ramp up new team members or share knowledge across an organization. Here in my knowledge network, I notice a stream video from an expert in the field.
Hey folks, got your messages. I'm looking into the unit failure. We will have a...
Understandably, there's a lot of background noise when you're on site. However, Microsoft Stream's new voice enhancement feature uses AI to drop out that background noise so I can focus just on what's being said. Let's listen to the difference with this feature on.
Perfect's rolling out shortly, but in the meantime, we've come up with a workaround. It's basically a...
That's so much better. And you may have noticed I've been doing all of this on the brand new Surface Pro X, our thinnest two-in-one ever. It's always ready with my new Surface Slim Pen ready at my fingertips because it charges while docked right here in our new signature keyboard. So I can jump right into a brainstorm using the whiteboard app and inking. Hello, Sonia. Looks like you're already in here.
Yep. I'm in the same whiteboard experience here on the Surface Hub 2S, which is perfect for team collaboration and also now mobile. Using the new templates and team in Whiteboard, we're able to easily organize our thoughts, assign tasks, and you can even thumbs up ideas that you agree with. But here, let me show you one of my favorite features.
I think Colleen needs one for the replace the scheduler.
So here's an image of a floor plan.
Yes.
I'm going to select it, hit the ink grab tool, and using AI, it's going to convert this into digital ink. So I can come in and edit it as if I had drawn this directly into the whiteboard myself. Oh. Pretty cool, right? But we know teams are going remote, so we want to showcase a few AI-powered experiences that will help create more personal connections in meetings. So here you can see all of my teammates looking sharp on this 4K plus resolution screen. You know how oftentimes people look disconnected when you're in a video call because
I
they're
don't
looking down
like
at
this.
Your screen as opposed
the
to
blurring.
Up
the
at the
eye,
camera.
They're going to make the
well,
eyes
this
move.
Person
the
is
eyes,
using
yeah.
the Surface Pro X,
I don't
supports
like it
new eye gaze technology.
Stop this.
The AI corrects the direction of her gaze, so it's looking as though she's looking directly at me. Also, nice office background you got going over there. But we know not every conference room has a Surface Hub yet. We have some teammates who are joining in a call in a conference room with a physical whiteboard.
Still
so we're not really easy. We're not able to easily follow along with their notes. But fortunately, they're in a Teams room with a dedicated whiteboard camera. Using AI, the camera detects the edges of the whiteboard and zooms in. But the real magic is that it also detects him and makes him transparent. So when he walks in front to write something on the board, all of us online are able to see right through him to the content. All right, Melissa, what's next on our list?
Holy moly.
Let's bring AI
so we'll be buying
and
one of these to review for...
for Show me emails
only
from
cost
Jordan.
$9,000.
That Surface Hub 2S is $9,000.
Natural language, Outlook gives me just the emails from my colleague Jordan, where he shared a PowerPoint attachment with me. This is such a more natural and easy way to search. I also like to use my phone to capture images of information I know I'll need later. So I'm going to use Image to Table in the new Office app to take a photo of this data set here. The Office AI will recognize it and analyze it and convert it into a real Excel table for me. I don't have to manually enter the data or format the cells. It's all done right here. And now that it's a real Excel table, I can easily continue to work with it or share it with my team. And this is so important because, as you know, we're collaborating with more teams than ever before around the globe. At Build, we announced a new collaboration platform called Fluid Framework. Fluid works by breaking down documents into component parts that can be collaborated on in real time across different applications. Fluid previews in just 4 weeks, so I'm super excited to show it to you in action today.
Yeah.
Here we are in a Teams chat where you can see different folks from the group collaborating on a document together. Jump on in, Sonia.
Sure. So I'm here in Outlook. I was sent the same table in the body of an email. I'm able to see your edits coming in from Teams, and you should be able to see mine coming in from Outlook. I can also use this data to create a pie chart, and it'll all be connected on the back end, just like how it is here on this PowerPoint slide on my brand new Surface Laptop 3.
That's the one that Mary Jo Foley has.
I love Fluid because I can continue to collaborate even while on
the go.
It's
not suede, though.
Here we see the same table on my mobile phone. Now, notice there's some missing data here. I'm going to add that in. Now, look at the PowerPoint and watch as it is instantly updated. Fluid is truly breaking down the barriers between applications. I know you're going to love it.
Whew. All right. That was a whirlwind tour of 12 AI and hardware experiences. But we have two more to show you for next year's wish list. A few weeks ago, we announced our vision for a new category of dual-screen devices.
Mm-hmm.
Surface Neo with two 9-inch screens running Duo. Windows 10X. And Surface Duo, yeah. Two 5.6-inch screens running Android, both available holiday 2020.
There you go,
We're
holiday
so
2020.
We're so excited for you to start using these amazing innovations from Microsoft 365 and Surface. Now let's head over to Dr. Balshi from the St. Luke's University Health Network.
I'll be very curious in a year to see like how that is received over the next year of foldables, if foldables continues to be the talking point that it has been the past year. Like,
yeah, because it's
whether Microsoft
be a while
does it right or whether they're coming in late.
You know? Yeah,
a medical school, a nursing school, and 15,000 employees. We have a mission. An unwavering commitment to excellence, delivering care to our community, educating our physicians and nurses, and improving access to care for our patients. For me, it's personal. I was born at St. Luke's, and I, like many of my colleagues, have spent my entire career there, often caring for each other's families. Working with Microsoft, our physicians, our nurses, and our technologists have started to manage the overwhelming tsunami of healthcare information that inundates us every day. Microsoft 365, and in particular Microsoft Teams, is allowing us to reduce our administrative tasks, to organize our patient care, and to collaborate with teleconferencing and file sharing, secure
text
messaging.
That could be a Microsoft Surface Hub.
The Microsoft employees who work with us at St. Luke's have become like family. They understand our culture, our work ethic, and our priorities. They've helped to empower and move our organization forward in digital transformation. And that's something we're really excited about at St. Luke's. And now I'll turn it over to my friend Yusuf Sajid, who's going to tell you some great things about Teams.
Teams is like a more full-featured Slack, is my understanding.
Thanks, Dr. Balshi.
It's got everything.
Today I'm going to show three scenarios on how St. Luke's uses Teams and Microsoft 365.
Yeah.
Care teams need to be in constant and at times urgent communication with each other. But that could be especially challenging when you have 15,000 people spread across 10 different hospitals like they are at St. Luke's. But with Microsoft Teams, they can stay connected through chat, audio clips, or even video right from their phone. They could even use the smart camera to take a photo of something like a patient's skin condition. They can mark up the image right in Teams so the care team knows exactly what to follow up on. Next, they can flag the message as urgent so that the right specialist, who might be miles away at a different hospital site, can respond at the right time.
Notify every
Now, the best
two
part
minutes.
Is that the image is not stored on the personal device. Rather, it stays on the secure M365 cloud, which enables the care team's HIPAA compliance. Now, in addition to improving internal communication, St. Luke's has looked for ways to transform clinical processes to better patient care outcomes. To ensure that doctors are continuously improving and providing the most empathetic care to patients, St. Luke's use Power Apps to develop their own patient experience app. The app helps to gather and provide feedback to doctors during their rounds. Right from their phones, clinicians can select the doctor they're shadowing. And then right in the app, they can score the patient and provider interactions. They can even input qualitative feedback around topics like provider duties. Once they're done, they can hit review and get an individual summary of the feedback they just shared and an overall score. Now, the data from this assessment and across all the assessments are flowed into a Power BI dashboard using Power Automate. Here, the leads of each specialty can review individual performance data, realize any performance trends, and improve quality across the entire network of hospitals. Now, a core part of St. Luke's mission to improve patient care is ensuring that the full context of a patient's care history, including those notes outside the health record, naturally follows them to every interaction they have, regardless of the clinician they're seeing that day. Microsoft Teams integrates electronic health record systems via a FHIR extensible interface. This healthcare interoperability standard enables data interoperability in Teams. Now, what this means is that providers like St. Luke's can bring in relevant medical information from their systems of record into one central hub meant for collaboration. Here, all the providers in surgical oncology can get a list view of the patients they care for. They can then click on a patient and get up-to-date information from the EHR, like medications. They can then improve those critical patient data handoffs by inputting notes around care logistics, in this case, a patient needing to fast prior to procedure in the morning. They can even dynamically collaborate around this information, like their video in a team huddle, while knowing they're on a secure platform. It's been incredible to see all the ways that St. Luke's is using Microsoft 365 to improve patient care. But now I want to show you something new. Today we're announcing virtual consults, a feature in Teams that will be available to customers across all industries. And in healthcare, this type of patient-provider video collaboration can help networks like St. Luke's reach even more people. Here, an administrator can access a scheduling view of clinicians in the care team. They could book a consultation by inputting relevant notes, like meeting notes and consult type. Once done, they just click send. At that point, the patient receives an email with a customization and Teams meeting link to join. The best thing is they don't even need a Teams account to participate. They just need a web browser and they can join at one click. Good. Now, before the meeting, the doctor can turn on a customized background so they can hide any sensitive patient data behind them. And once they're in the meeting, they can engage with a patient who may be at home or they may be at a different hospital site altogether.
I respect it.
Hi, David. We're going to begin by sharing your test results.
With the world?
This was just a quick glimpse as to how Teams is transforming healthcare. But Teams is a hub that adapts to any industry. Whether you're in retail, manufacturing, or financial services,
no, I think that's a big deal.
It unifies everything your organization needs.
Companies making huge innovations in healthcare, especially, and the video consult thing is growing and growing and growing.
It really is.
Yeah,
yeah.
In fact, my doctor kept pushing it. Hey, you know, you don't have to come in. You can just do a video consult.
Well, I mean, at least with Kaiser, I'm incentivized to do something like that versus go in, because if you go in, you actually have to pay the copay or whatever. And they have time set aside for these virtual kind of or email exchanges or whatever. So you can't avoid it. I'm all about anything that takes the doctor further out of technology and into the patient, right? Like, so there's like a very fine line between where medicine is right now, where it's highly data driven and just wanting a human contact with the doctor.
That's one of the places where I do genuinely want to, you know, I don't want to have to call to schedule my needing to get tires replaced. So that thing that they showed earlier with the bots, great. But when it comes to talking like a doctor, I want to be able to have that communication and feel like it's someone actually listening to certain someone.
Both our browser in Edge as well as Bing and Search. And to show you all this innovation, let me throw it out to Yusuf on the show floor.
Edge and Bing. So have you seen the new Edge logo?
Yes, I have. It looks like a C.
Here at Microsoft, we think the time is right to expect more from the web. And we hear this from everyone, IT professionals, developers, everyday people. So today, we're going to unlock a whole new wave of innovation to empower you on the web. I want to start by focusing today on people in business. And our goal is to bring really the best browsing capability and search capability to deliver you the best experience on the web. Now, before I get in and show you all the cool things that are going on, let me address the elephant in the room. Some of you out there might be thinking, hey, Microsoft, what's changed over the last 10 years in browsing and search that will make you be really competitive? Well, I would like to welcome you to the new Microsoft Edge. Today, we release a new browser update that is going to address three big things that we've been wanting to do to get in there and be super competitive. First is we now release separate from the operating system, so we ship at internet scale. Every 4 to 6 weeks, we're doing innovation. Second is we're going to run now on all platforms that you have in your company, iOS, Android, Mac, Win 7. And last and most important is about a year ago, we moved to the Chromium browser. What that allowed us to do is deliver for you world-class performance and compatibility.
I learned this by doing Windows Weekly. And so the joke is that that logo is actually a C, not an E,
Microsoft Edge. We are over twice as fast. We now rival Chrome in terms of performance for rendering web pages. Second, on compatibility, as you would imagine, we are now perfect match compat on websites. So now you can rest assured you've got world-class tools. Now with those things, we can now start to do some things that go beyond and innovate on the behalf and push the boundaries. I'll start first on one on performance, one on compat. Let's start on performance. What I wanted to introduce for you today now is the first personalized homepage that is unique for everyone that speeds you to what you want to get done. And what's going on in the covers here is I'm logged into my Azure directory, so the system knows about me and it knows about the Microsoft Graph. So I get specialized links and data for me, so the speed to get to action from the page is dramatic, and only we can do this at Microsoft because of the Graph in Azure. Second thing we do is we're going to push the boundary forward on compatibility. If you can believe that, you can even be more than 100% compat. Because today, 75% of Fortune 500 run more than one browser. They run Internet Explorer and a modern browser like Chrome or Edge. Let me show you this. This is an IE legacy site that we actually run at Microsoft for time reporting. And when I click on it, I get a separate IE instance. But what you see is it's actually inside of Edge. So now you only have to have one browser to manage your entire estate. That's a massive time savings, massive management savings. All right, second thing is privacy and security. This is a top thing concern for all of us. If you're an IT professional, you already know that we're world-class at managing and securing your data estate. But today I want to show you some things we're doing to empower us all as individuals. And I want to focus on privacy and security. Let's go ahead and start first with some of the privacy. So today when we all surf the web, it's kind of, you know, behind the scenes, we don't really realize it, but there are a lot of trackers and cookies getting dropped on the machine. So on this side, for example, I go to weather.com. And what you'll see is that over 66 trackers are loaded onto my PC from this site from Ravage Surfing. But what you see below is we've blocked 62 of them. And part of that is because we are taking a new, more protective stance to help you on the web.
This
so
is
what you
very,
see here, this is the configuration page,
parity,
which you don't have
to
go to.
Get right now,
but we give you three options
now. In sync with all
now.
The other companies
basic,
that have
the
great
works.
Browsers. They're which is good.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Really
absolutely. Put those controls
we, you know,
in there. Let the user decide.
Especially
balance.
Given how many people are using Windows regularly and needing to use the browser all the time to not have those trackers tracking everybody. I think it's great.
It is interesting, though, the kind of like parallel between Microsoft being such a data-driven tools company and then also being like, but maybe you don't want that. I mean, it's all about, you know, the user option.
Right. Yeah.
Option of the user to decide to opt in or opt out.
Oh,
I go into InPrivate.
Private browsing.
Look at this. When I start to navigate to a page, we will actually prevent you from being accidentally logged in, right? We keep you in private.
Oh, that's nice.
And when you type in searches, all those searches are kept just on the machine. They don't go back to the server. So if you want the most private way to search,
I gotta say that's not really
web,
a good look.
You're gonna want to go with Edge and Bing.
I feel like that's stigmatizing anxiety
right,
a little bit. Like, oh, I need to be on private browsing in order to learn
how
about anxiety.
To get more knowledge
but
the web is
I get it.
Talked about it. Today, the web is this incredible research tool, but it's hard to collaborate. So, let me give you an example. I'm an IT professional, and I'm looking to put together a set of recommendations on PCs to buy. So today, what we do is you'd send around links. But now look at this. I can create a separate collections page on the right. And what I'm able to do now is, as I surf, I can kind of drag and drop things over. I can add whole pages.
Ooh, I like that.
It's kind of like a scratch pad. And so here I go to different Amazon, I go to Best Buy, and I pull in the computers I'm looking to see. So not only do the pictures come over, but all the metadata comes over.
Kind of like
so now you've
comparison.
Got it in one place. You don't have to email
I like that because
cool.
I wonder if you can use it with other things, not just products, but just
with people.
If you're because I do the save all these bookmarks whenever I have to restart a computer if I'm going away.
Yeah.
So to have like a collection that I could then share. Oh my goodness, it automatically made an Excel document.
How cool is that?
Can I get it to make a Google Sheets document?
Yeah, how does it know how to do that appropriately?
These are powerful tools to harness knowledge out of the web. All right, last but not least, I'm going to save the best for last here. We want to really now do a big thing forward that we can only, I think, uniquely do at Microsoft. We want to unite the internet with the intranet. The ease of use of how you surf the web with the power of your own data. Right? So let's take an example. Today on the web is magical. You can find, you know, hundreds of millions of documents in sub-second time. But how many of you had that problem where you can't find the document you want inside of your company? Everyone here traveled. You want the travel site so that you can do your booking. Does anyone know the SharePoint travel site? I don't. But watch this now. Within my own browser, within my own search engine in Bing, I can start to type in T. I get web results. But look at this. I also get the links inside my company. And with one click, I get taken right to the Microsoft, in this case, my travel site. And there's the SharePoint URL. Take a look at that green URL. I'd have never remembered it.
Well,
We go one step further, though. So 76% of the information in companies is in unstructured data. But we now can read that data just like you can read on the web. So if you've ever used Bing to say, hey, how tall is the Empire State Building or what's the weather today? And we answer at the top. What if you could do that within Bing today? Watch this. Let's say I want to find out how many days can I take off for jury duty. I can just type that in. And as I type that in, up will come not just the website, but the actual answer. 10 days at Microsoft. And you can see it. So we can read the web semantically and pull it out. Here's another one. I got two dogs I love. I wanted to know, can I bring my dogs to work? I can just type in, can I bring my dog to work? And we will go in and find this thing, which is very obscure inside the company. And what we'll see here is not only does it give you the pet policy, which is unfortunate, I can't bring them in.
Wow, Microsoft, change it.
But we didn't even have dogs show up. It had pet policy. And that's because we have an understanding of the semantic web.
Oh, that is cool.
So imagine how being able to query all of your
pets can be brought to Microsoft.
Basic English to answer the questions. Here's my favorite. Power BI is a new way to run companies and get access to your data. Now when I'm looking for sales of the new Surface laptops we launched a few weeks ago, I can say, give me the Power BI for monthly sales overview, and I get it right there. I don't know the URL, I get the link. And if I want to look at all of the other data around there, I have one click link and I can pull up all the Power BI dashboards. So that's what's great for interest searching. Now let me show you people search at the next level. So I'm going to do a trip to England and I want to meet with Sophia. I type in Sophia and I get this real beautiful contact card. Now what you don't sort of know that happened is in the background, the graph knew, oh, Sophia is probably most relevant for me because of emails we exchanged. So you would each get a different Sophia in your company. But what I want to do now is I want to do something more complex. I know I'm meeting with Sophia who's in engineering. So I can just add to my query, hey, Sophia in engineering. And then I get the Sophia in engineering. But I'm actually traveling to London. So I want the Sophia that's in London. So I can just use natural language and it'll find the Sophia that's most relevant to me. This is Sophia Mota. She's in London. That's the person I want to meet with. And now look at that contact card. I can get access to all this great data to go out there and meet with her. So for example, I want to come out and find out where her office is. All those office maps that are in your corporate servers, you can now get one link and I can turn around and find out where we're going to meet. And it'll help me save time as I get to London. And I can also use that on my phone. So with your Azure Active Directory, you logged into your iPhone or Android phone, you can now get access to all those company resources right off your phone. And best of all, if I want to prepare for the meeting, I can come in and look at the files that she shared with me. So I don't have to go and search my email and say, hey, what were those files? They're all right there with one click of a button. And if you look closely, the files aren't just from Microsoft sites. There's one there from Box. And that's because today we're making a bunch of announcements to create new connectors. So you can always search the intranet, but you can search all of your other content in there, like Box and SAP and Salesforce and ServiceNow. In fact, today I'm pleased to announce that over 100 connectors are coming online that'll help you be able to get access to all of this great content. And they're coming empowered by some of our ecosystem partners who are providing these, Accenture, BA Insight, and Ration. So what you'll see today is if you want the best browsing and search experience, today we are announcing the release candidate, the final release candidate for Microsoft Edge is available. Go up and download it now if you want to have the best and most private browsing experience.
I downloaded
it. Our final version is coming January 15th in over 90 languages.
Does it change the world?
Yeah. Suddenly I feel like I am the people. And it's all about me.
There'll be sessions later today to talk to you about it. And all your sites will automatically work, including your legacy sites and IE 11. They'll work automatically. But if they don't, you let us know and we'll fix them for free with a new app Assure. So we think it's time to expect more out of the web. We're excited to unleash whole waves of innovation. Today's a big step forward with business. You'll hear more about what we're doing for developers and for everyday people coming next spring. With that,
so
back to you, Satya. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it is weird.
Thank you so much, Yusuf. We're very, very excited about all the innovation across Edge and Bing. So I want to close where I started. With our mission to empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more is all about creating that tech intensity, that tech capability inside of every organization. And we started the day with Stranger Things, which typified, in some sense, tech intensity. I want to end by talking about another fun experience, Minecraft Earth.
Yeah.
We started to launch Minecraft Earth around the world. And in fact, tomorrow it'll launch in the UK, but we wanted to give you a demo of playing Minecraft Earth, which brings together some of the core capabilities of the cloud with this iconic game and turns the real world into a playing field. So let's have our friends Sax and Nina show us Minecraft Earth.
Thank you, Satya. We're excited to be here today to talk about Minecraft Earth, a brand new Minecraft in augmented reality. We've been wanting to bring Minecraft to the real world for some time now, but the problem is, like, how can we give players the same experience no matter where they are or what they do? And doing that at Earth scale is a pretty hot problem.
This is where Azure Spatial Anchors comes in. So if you want to find your way to the park, GPS can get you there. But if you want to find the mushroom under the tree at the park, you're going to need something a lot more precise than what GPS
can
do for
you. Maybe that's called in Minecraft.
Today on stage, we're going to show you all of this in action.
So for the past couple of months, we've been populating the planet with Minecraft adventures. Adventures are life-size holograms. They're a little bit of Minecraft sprinkled all over every neighborhood. And it's where you go to
get
blocks.
Minecraft off my neighborhood.
It's where you go to quest, fight mobs, and grab the best loot. Why don't we take a look at the game?
Yeah.
So, Minecraft Earth starts on the map. So, everything you see on the map, this is right around here in the convention center. Every little 3D icon is an experience we can have. I can click this little grass icon and get, like, quick resources. Jumbo rabbit, carrots, it's useful. Or, if I want a fully immersive experience, we can go into one of the adventures.
While Sax joins this adventure, well, I've already gotten started. I started here, and there's a spatial anchor that I've joined. Sax can join the exact same one so that we can play the game together in the exact same spot.
Can I play?
You'll get to play in just a second.
Okay. You run the company. You can do whatever you want.
So here we see like, an anchor that we made a
couple
of days ago.
I guess it's not available in the U.S.
yet. Here on stage. Like,
yeah, I thought it was. I thought I saw...
Wherever I go, I get directed back to where the shared experience is going to be right there.
See, when I tap it, it says
why don't we place it and invite Satya in here.
All right, I've set up a game for you as well. It has all the things on the hotbar that you need.
Thank you.
And if you join me right over here.
Okay.
You guys look
great.
Let me put in a rabbit. Like, if you guys get your carrots ready.
Oh, man, I want the rabbit.
Satya, it's coming for you.
Launched in early access.
Oh, there you go.
It is about your size.
Oh, so I should
have carrots.
I'm going to put some carrots in mine and see if I can get the rabbit to like me more. But apparently not.
Maybe
I think you've got more carrots than me.
Satya, if you take your pickaxe and then break a hole in the ground, this is one of our puzzle-based adventures, and there should be a lot of stuff hidden down there. So if you just hit the
ray blocks. I want to hit the rabbit. Okay.
That didn't end well. God. Promise that wasn't on purpose. So if we look down here, like we see a minecart with a chicken, minecart track that looks broken. Maybe if you guys mine the track up here on the surface, we can repair the track and send the chicken home.
All right.
Okay.
Grab this track that's up here.
So they're all playing
again,
together.
Because we're in a shared
thing.
Experience, yeah, like everybody's cool. Exactly where they're supposed to be, and we can play like a multiplayer game, but just real scale. Are you guys repairing it, or do you need help?
I think we can repair it ourselves. Satya looks like he's started already.
Uh-oh. We need to break this one so we can get it flat again. There you go.
Okay. All right, perfect. I'll add this one here.
There you go.
Looks all fixed. Thank you for helping.
All right, send the chicken home.
All right, okay. So I'm going to go ahead and push this.
That's code, that's code for kill the chicken. Send the chicken home means kill the chicken.
All right, this sounds like a skeleton.
Uh-oh.
Get your bows out.
Satya, step back.
You can't.
Yeah. All right, I might need some help.
Die while playing Minecraft.
Really bad at getting this.
I'm trying to shoot you. Maybe if you move over here, Satya, we can see you.
I love how they're very gently telling him what he needs to do. Suggesting, you know, if you move over here,
don't fire me.
It might. Yeah, exactly.
Bring my axe out.
Start breaking some stuff.
All right, that skeleton seems to have gone home. But
gone.
We see here that we were at least able to solve this adventure and send the chicken home.
That's
They're
fantastic.
Probably hanging out together.
That's fantastic.
Right.
Oh, this is fun. We can play all day.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have all day for this. I think you've got some other things on
That's
your calendar.
Right. So what's next?
So as you can see here, with Azure Spatial Anchors, we were able to set up this common anchor and jump in and play. Azure Spatial Anchors is in public preview, and it creates a real-world canvas for your business, whether it's an enterprise or gaming.
So that little bit of tech magic was what we needed to make Minecraft Earth special. And Minecraft Earth is out in a few select countries in early access, and it's going to be coming to the rest of the world very, very soon.
Fantastic. Thank you all very, very much. Have a fantastic Ignite. Cheers.
And that was that.
That is how it's done. But wait, because last time this happened, then there was a one more thing, and I'm not getting tricked.
And they ran
twice.
Out.
Yeah, they did. They walked. He walked off.
Oh, wait a minute.
He walked off, and then we were doing our little at, and then he came back on stage and was like, by the way, we've got the Surface Duo now, too. That is what it's called, Surface Duo.
Today firmed up the details on that a little bit, right? Holiday 2020.
They were saying that last time as well.
Were they? Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, so nothing. There was quite literally nothing new with that, unfortunately.
No.
They held them open and closed them, and we saw that before. So I think they were just
they just acknowledged
reminder.
That they still exist.
Yeah, it's like we're working on it. But one of the things with the Surface Neo and Duo is that they want to get it into developers' hands so that they can create experiences specifically for this dual screen device. So.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they're talking about it here. I'm sure that developers will be able to go and check it out. And look, oh my goodness, it's Paul Theroux and Mary Jo Foley. Yep. So we will say goodbye so that you folks can tune in and watch Paul and Mary Jo explain everything that happened at the Vision Keynote. Thanks once again to LastPass. You can head to lastpass.com/twit. To learn more about the personal password manager and identity solution for businesses all in one. We will say goodbye now so you can see the show that Paul and Mary Jo have.
Everybody.